Today in the studio, it's the Triple Platinum Live album that put Lynyrd Skynyrd on the road to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Live from the Fox Theater, Lynyrd Skynyrd!
And in rock and roll back in those days, you mature like it's like a dog's life. Every 7 years is 1 year, you know?
Ain't gonna see no hope in its time.
And our meals mostly contained of RC Colas and Moon Pies. Yeah.
That's the way we used to change guitar strings. Alan and I and Leon, we'd always go collect Coke bottles. You'd get about 10 or 15 Coke bottles and you could buy a new set of strings.
Hey, y'all. This is Leon Wilkinson of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And I'm Gary Rossington in the studio.
Hey, give me back my blues.
In September 1976, the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd and the venerable Atlanta Fox Theater each needed a minor miracle. Make no mistake, Lynyrd Skynyrd's biggest life and death turning point was still 13 months into the unforeseeable future. But a relentless 300 shows a year, dubbed the Torture Tour, had original members dropping like flies, and album sales had likewise slipped. Never a top 40 singles band, that nevertheless didn't stop their record company president from expecting three Sweet Home Alabama sound-alikes from Lynyrd Skynyrd's February 1976 studio album, Give Me Back My Bullets. By midsummer 1976, three things were evident. America's self-conscious bicentennial was entering the history books, even as the wrecking ball was heading towards the Fox Theater. A double live album from Peter Frampton was rewriting the record books in the music business, and Lynyrd Skynyrd was selling more tickets than Gimme Back My Bullets albums. A stopgap measure was in order. Lynyrd Skynyrd needed a recording that would capture their lightning in a bottle. The Fox Theater in Atlanta needed a lightning rod to make it a cause celeb. Founding Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Gary Rossington remembers the time.
Actually, we played three nights. And we know all this. It was to save the Fox, too. We got a Grammy that year, for the Humanitarian Award for saving the Fox Theater from being torn down and made a parking lot. We did that show there, and we decided to record it with Tom Dowd, and he wanted to do three shows so we could keep it live and not have to overdub a lot. Because he'd done Wheels of Fire with Cream, and he'd done Live at the Fillmore with the Almonds.
Brothers, yeah.
And those were the two best live albums we'd ever heard, except for Frampton's right then. Those were the two biggest and best albums ever, live. So we got with him, and he just kind of guided us through that and told us to play three shows. And that's why some of the songs are different. We had a different set list each night.
And for $20 you can buy yourself one too. Any old fine shop will do.
Originally from their third studio album, Nothing Fancy, Saturday Night Special boldly pointed towards the handgun debate in the U.S., which continues years later. By the time of the release of Gimme Back My Bullets in 1975, original Lynyrd Skynyrd drummer Bob Burns and slide guitarist Ed King had both left abruptly. 5 months after release, it became apparent that the Bullets album was loaded with blanks. In his final national radio interview, Lynyrd Skynyrd's original bass player, Leon Wilkinson, follows founding guitarist Gary Rossington in the studio.
Yeah, I think Bullets was just the time we were changing producers, and it was just Alan and myself on guitars. Ed was gone, and it was just a kind of a rushed record we had to do, and making it Capricorn, we were kind of rushed. We were touring and doing that record at the same time as touring. It was just a hard one. And
that was the least successful album. We're just facing like a run into a brick wall kind of thing. But the songs are great on her, but like Gary's saying, you know, it was just him and Alan in the guitar part. So I think it was real noticeable that three guitar distinction was kind of missing on that album.
Well, I remember back then, and I guess still today, you have to do a certain many albums or CDs that you're signed to with a record company. And we had, and those days, we had to do a record each year. Ed King had just quit, and we'd just gotten Steve, and it was time to do a new record. So instead of not stopping for anything and continuing to tour and trying to write a record that we weren't ready for, we just decided to do a live one. And with Tom Dowd, he'd just done Give Me Back My Bullets with us. We thought that we had the perfect guy because his record would do it, you know, track record of doing live records. So we wanted to do it live to show people what we sounded like live, that we weren't like a a lot of bands back in those days would sound real good in the studio, but in live when you heard them, they would be terrible. Same as today, I guess. And so we wanted to show everybody that live what we sounded like, that if you came to hear us live, that it would sound like the record, you know.
Steve Gaines was just getting worked into the band then, too. He hadn't been with us a long time.
No, a lot of songs he didn't know. He was only with us a week or two, and he had to sit out in my living room,
I remember.
He had to sit out and then turn his guitar down and fake like he was playing. And he didn't even play on a few songs, and then some he did play that he knew, you know. Well, he hadn't learned them. He could have played and jammed on them, but we weren't that kind of band. We wanted it tight. So we made him turn his guitar down. We didn't want him to look goofy, so we just said, pretend like you're playing. If you don't know it, but turn your damn guitar down. And he kind of would laugh, and he'd act like he was playing away with his guitar down. And that's then right. The one songs he knew, he'd play with us, and he did some solos and everything, but it was really kind of funny, you know.
Yeah, he got enough in there to be noticed, and it wasn't long before Ronnie would be telling the audience, watch out, he'd sick Okie on him. Mm-hmm. God bless Steve Gaines, man.
The wise man, I'm feeling blue. Lord, I'm not satisfied. He said, you're not doing too bad, no, not bad at all. You're just trying to walk some before you can crawl. You got stacks of money to the sky up above. Now all you need is to find you enough. He sent me searching.
Next, an example of how Lynyrd Skynyrd lead singer-songwriter Ronnie Van Zant's reputation as a bare-knuckle street fighter made it hard to recruit additional musicians. I'm Redbeard. For this and your other favorite rock star interviews, visit inthestudio.net. We're in the studio with Gary Rossington for Lynyrd Skynyrd's live comeback album, One More from the Road.
Hi, I'm Gary Rossington, in the studio from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And I'm Redbeard, with Lynyrd Skynyrd's pivotal album, the live triple platinum, One More from the Road, from 1976. It seems that Lynyrd Skynyrd co-founder, singer-songwriter Ronnie Van Zant, had such a notorious reputation as a brawler in Jacksonville, Florida, that it made recruiting for the band exceedingly difficult. That according to the late bass player Leon Wilkerson and guitarist Gary Rossington.
Yeah, I'll never forget hearing about when Gary and Ronnie were going to approach Alan about joining the band. The story I heard, he was riding his bicycle, and they were driving a car, and he was hauling tail on that bike because he thought Ronnie was going to beat him up.
Yeah, we had to chase him up a tree that day.
Get him to join the band.
Threw his bike down and ran out in the woods and climbed an oak tree, and we had to call him down from this tree, swearing we weren't going to hurt him. We just wanted to talk. He just always felt like he was an outlaw because being from the west side of town and fighting, and the reputation he had in the early days was like an outlaw. And then, I don't know, we were just kind of the bad boys in Jacksonville, and a lot of people didn't like us. And then when disco came in, that was in our era in this early 70s and stuff. That was disco versus rock was a big thing, so yeah. We hated it. And all the bands and all the record stations, and you remember this, was playing disco and not us. So we really hated them, and he just kind of, that was Jacksonville. They hated us in the disco days because we were a southern rock band with long hair and showing up at these clubs and dance places like that, and they were dancing and doing Dance Fever, you know, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
It wasn't mixing, so he just kind of wrote his feelings down like that. But he felt like that, I'm sure, yeah. He always did.
Life is so strange when it's changing, yes indeed. Pressure's been on me, but I keep on working like a working man do. And I got my act together, gonna walk all over you. Give me back my bullets, put it back where they belong. Ain't fooling around, cause I've done had my fun. Ain't gonna see no more damage done. Yeah.
everybody, my boy.
Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Gary Rossington and bass player the late Leon Wilkeson recall recycling empties before it was a green environment that they wanted to save.
We used to always collect Coke bottles and pop bottles to get guitar strings or pay for gas to get, you know, around town. But for that particular...
it was a survival tactic.
Yeah, that particular time, besides tickets and gas, you know, we had to get a little food and stuff. So we all collected Coke bottles for 2 or 3 or 4 days, just driving around and walking around and riding our bikes around back then. Looking for bottles and collecting them, and you'd cash them in for 3 cents a bottle, you know.
And our meals mostly contained of RC Colas and Moon Pies. Yeah.
That's the way we used to change guitar strings. Alan and I and Leon, we'd always go collect Coke bottles. You'd get about 10 or 15 Coke bottles, and you could buy a new set of strings, see?
When we return, a tribute to the late Lynyrd Skynyrd keyboard player Billy Powell. For this and other exclusive interviews, plus live Lynyrd Skynyrd performances, visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Gary Rossington in the studio for Lynyrd Skynyrd's One More from the Road.
Hi, I'm Gary Rossington in the studio from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And I'm Redbeard. A year after being thrust into the spotlight by debuting with the band for these two nights of concerts, guitarist Steve Gaines would prove to be a valuable asset on Lynyrd Skynyrd's next studio effort, Street Survivors. This according to band co-founder Gary Rossington.
Just adding Steve to the band, and by then he was really a part of the band, so to speak. He had been with us for a few months, almost a year after the 2 weeks we got him before the live album. It had been almost a year passed before Street Survivors, and so he was like a member of the band.
By the time you went in to record.
Yeah, by the time, and he had wrote two or three of the songs,
good
and
point.
We had got with him. He was singing some, and we'd known him, and we'd lived with him. You know, we knew him.
Hey!
Probably the most accidental recruitment of the original Lynyrd Skynyrd band was that of keyboard player Billy Powell, according to co-founder guitarist Gary Rossington.
He was our roadie, man. He used him and Kevin Elson, the guy that helped mix this thing or mixed it and was our sound man back then. They were our roadies. Billy Powell and Kevin Elson were our roadies, and then Kevin would do sound too, and Billy just be our roadie. And so one, this happened for a year or two, I guess, and we didn't know, we even know he played piano. We just thought he was this goofy guy that carried our amps around. And one night we were playing at this, it was, I'll think of the name, Bayview High School. And it was behind Lakeshore where we all went to high school. And we were playing there one night, and it, after this show, or after the gig, it was just a high school dance. It started raining so hard we couldn't load the equipment up. So we were all standing in the gym, the band and Billy and Kevin, just waiting for the rain to quit so we could load up. And there was a piano there, and Billy just out of nowhere said, "You know what? If I ever had to play Freebird, this is the way I'd play it." And started playing it, you know, played it beautiful for about 5 or 10 minutes. And we were all crying and just going on, well, we couldn't believe it. And we fired him that night from being our roadie and hired him to be our piano player. And the next gig, he played Freebird and played just 2 or 3 songs with us. That's all he'd play. Then he'd be the roadie. And every gig, he'd be a half roadie, half keyboard man.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? I must be traveling on now, 'cause there's too many places I've got to see. If I stay here with you, girl, things just couldn't be the same. 'Cause I'm as free as a bird now.
Yes, I am.
And a bird you cannot change.
For Dwayne, okay? Billy Powell.
Yeah, yeah. Though the
this feeling I can't change. Please don't take this so badly, 'cause Lord knows I'm to blame.
from the second night at Atlanta's Fox Theater, you hear lead singer Ronnie Van Zant name-checking the late Duane Allman and graciously spotlighting Lynyrd Skynyrd piano player Billy Powell, who joined me in the studio with the late Leon Wilkinson to compliment Johnny Van Zant, their singer since the 1987 tribute tour.
You know, we just thought that, you know, Ronnie had been awful proud of him, you know, smiling down from heaven, going, go for it, little brother, you know, do it, do it. And Johnny did it. He did what he was called to do.
I honestly feel we couldn't have gotten this far without him. And he doesn't knock anybody's teeth out in the band.
And of course he helps. Of course he helps keep that Skynyrd sound, too, you know. You know, I don't like to compare him to Ronnie, but he doesn't like to be compared to Ronnie, and we don't like to compare him to Ronnie, but he worked. It worked.
Both of those original Lynyrd Skynyrd band members are now passed away. Leon Wilkinson in July 2001 and Billy Powell in January 2009. In hindsight, these additional losses to the original band has made the choice of Johnny Van Zant to sing for Lynyrd Skynyrd that much more important. Here's Gary Rossington.
Yeah, well, the only one in my mind was Johnny, you know, and other people had, we were going to get a lot of people at first. I mean, everybody had different ideas, Paul Rogers, and a lot of, I can go on with a list of names, but I'm not. But, you know, Johnny was the only one. We were going to get a female, but we didn't think she knew three steps. But no, you know what I mean. Johnny was the only one that could have sang for Ronnie on that tour and with the band now. You know, I mean, it's just, I say the band now, I'm real proud of this new band. You know, but Johnny definitely is the only one. That was really easy. Sometimes we'll be hitting the note, so to speak, you know, hitting it and going, and I forget all the, I hate to say shit, but all the stuff that happened with the old band, the bad luck and troubles and just the, you know, the blues we had and the tragedies, you know, and it all goes away with this because we're going on and the feelings are there from, I know Alan and Ronnie and Stevie and all of them are looking down on us with the grins. I know this in my heart. I think I know, but as with Johnny's the only other person who would have to feel it that deep that it's all right to do this, you know, from his brother. But I feel it, and I know it's all right. But anyway, I feel this. It's like all the old stuff didn't happen, and this is so good and new and fresh, and it's kind of like we deserve it because we had so much bad that, man, and just to play music, you know, that's the only payback we want, you know. And everybody in the band wanted it, and all the fans seemed to, so we said, let's go for it.
I'm Redbeard.